welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the Plan Z of free speech. You thought the plans only went A through Y, but then you saw Plan Z, and it was just kind of in the back of the filing cabinet, and you said, Plan Z, I love you. And that's a reference to the first SpongeBob movie. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the badly needed fundage to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Operators are standing by. And we have with us, I'm happy to say, Paul Stevenson. I'd started to record a show saying that you had called me yesterday and I missed the call, but the call has come through. One question, though. Do you know who said Plan Z, I love you, in the SpongeBob movie?
No, I don't.
It was Plankton. It was Plankton. I'm sure somebody out there in RBN land knew that answer. Okay. So there's... We talk a lot about geopolitics because it's happening. There's other stuff happening. There's a British election, which is fast, and it's less than a month away now. I guess the main thing, just to get it started off, is you've had so-called Western government. When we say Western, it's really a euphemism for Jewish-dominated. You had all these Jewish-dominated governments in the formerly white countries who are announcing that the weapons that they are sending to Ukraine the Ukrainians can go ahead and launch strikes deep into Russia with these systems that are given to Ukraine and by Western governments and staffed by Western personnel, and the targets are selected by Western personnel and so on and so forth. But, you know, what's the worst that can happen? What's the worst that can happen, Paul?
Well, this is the question. And of course, you alluded to these weapons instructors, for example, and these longer range weapons being fired into Russian territory, and French instructors and other NATO instructors on the ground, particularly French, though. When I heard Putin address all this today, and Putin's response, I think this was earlier today or yesterday, was that if the West are going to be sending in weapons, like you said, he mentioned with the assistance of Western expertise as to targeting and training and operating these sort of missiles and military gear for the purposes of attacking Russian territory, and then addressing a group of global media outlets, he said, you know, well, is it not fair game, I'm paraphrasing, is it not fair game then that we also can arm other states, other nations, for the purpose of retaliation strikes into those nations that are providing the weapons to attack us? So initially we've had this ambiguity, it has to be said, this kind of nebulous kind of rhetoric initially about whether they can send in the weapons to strike Russian territory, and then Biden give his blessing on a limited basis where they could strike just over the border to deal with this problem in Kharkov. But since then, they are on record to say they won't rule out the possibility of them being able to strike deeper into Russian territory. And of course, this has been the theme all along. And the danger of it is that they keep applying their own red lines, which they keep crossing to Russia as red lines. Now, Russia's red lines are very clear. if there are long-range weapons struck into, you know, weapons into deep into Russian territory, then that is a red line. Some of the other things are not so much red lines. But this kind of nebulous, kind of ambiguous rhetoric is very dangerous. It leaves us very vulnerable, and it leaves the whole world very vulnerable to, you know, a mishap, a misunderstanding. Maybe this is what, you know, Macron was talking about with his strategic ambiguity, that little moron Macron. But it's very, very dangerous because, you know, the Russians, of course, will, I was going to say may, but they, there's no may about it. If there is any doubt about it, the Russians will err on the side of caution. Now, I don't think that the first option open to the Russians is a nuclear strike, but you're going to see essentially a global conflict breakout where, you know, Russia will start to, you know, use proxies. They may directly strike some military bases, U.S. bases in the Middle East. The might of those little uppity Baltic nations may be on the receiving end of it, that Putin has already mentioned and warned them about. But the weird thing about it, Patrick, is I remember as a child, you know, as a young boy, Thatcher and Ronald Reagan being on television, and my parents being very attentive. I had not really much of an idea what was going on, but I knew it was serious. It was to do with the Soviet Union and the U.S. tensions, and it was all very serious. And where we're at the minute is a lot more serious than that. And no one's really in the Western media is discussing it. Now, if you're informed like us, and you get your sources beyond Western media, and you get your sources beyond Western propaganda, and any coverage there is of it in the West is basically, and this circles back to how you started the call with the question, any of the coverage is basically this dismissal of Putin. Oh, there's Putin threatening nuclear weapons again this week. This guy, you know, he's just like every other day he's threatening in some kind of way. Well, no, because they believe that their red lines, that the Western red lines that they've crossed, that Putin has done nothing about. Now, whether they are just not paying attention or whether it's just a narrative that they choose to believe, the fact of the matter is they are crossing their own red lines, not Russia's. But this one is a red line, and they seem to be very complacent about it. I heard this very upper-middle-class commentator on the Times, the Sunday Times. They are constantly holding on to this idea that the Russians are, you know, they will be defeated in the end, and they're a menace, and blah blah blah. And again, it's just we can largely, you know, for the most part, dismiss Putin. You know, he's full of bluster. But as you said, I mean, you know, what's the worst could happen? Do these people ever think for one second, what if there's 1% chance you're wrong?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm speaking, okay, speaking of Donald Trump, you weren't speaking of Donald Trump. And the Trump train is becoming kind of a Trump train wreck with his pro-genocide statements, his support for Gaza. But he was talking about, the very real possibility of the Biden administration starting World War III. And that's, you know, the thing about Trump is he is what he is. And so sometimes he's saying things like, oh, if I had been president and Russia invaded Ukraine, I would have bombed Moscow. He says completely retarded things like that. Then on the other hand, he'll say, look, we can't get into World War III. World War III would be very, very bad. It could wipe out life on Earth. He'll say things like that. And one thing that some months ago, when he was talking about his own negotiations or direct dealings with Vladimir Putin, and of course, what Donald Trump says doesn't necessarily mean it happened. What Donald Trump says isn't necessarily the truth. But what Donald Trump says can be kind of a reflection on Donald Trump's own thinking. And Donald Trump said that he was talking to Putin, and he said, look, you know, don't move on Ukraine. If you move on Ukraine, bad things could happen. Bad things could happen, so don't move on Ukraine. And Putin, I don't think he believed me, but maybe he believed me 5%, maybe 10%, maybe 5%. But just 5%'s enough. 5%'s enough. And so he didn't move on Ukraine. Well, okay, so I don't know if anything like that ever actually happened, because Donald Trump's always reciting conversations, and who knows if they ever happened. But the thought there is that what Trump was saying is Putin perhaps thought there was, you know, a small chance that should he make such and such move, then the United States would escalate it. Probably not, but maybe. And that just maybe was enough. That was what Donald Trump was saying. Just that little bit of doubt was enough to prevent Vladimir Putin from doing something. Now, of course, I think Vladimir Putin was absolutely cornered into ordering the special military operation. And so that's my position. But to what you just said about, you know, even if there's a 1% chance it would be of World War III, it would be crazy of doing something. And that's the logic. And so it's a logic that Trump seems to understand, and a logic that Trump was saying that Putin understands. But there seems to be zero understanding of this, not just in the Biden administration, but, you know, I have a friend who is a retired colonel, an intelligence officer, and he is a contractor and works every day in the Pentagon. And I was talking to him, oh gosh, last autumn. I was, what was he saying? He was saying that Ukraine was winning the war. This was last autumn, that Ukraine's winning the war. And I said, that's, you're kidding. And he said, no, they're winning the war. I said, is that what people in the Pentagon think? So these people who are in charge of policy are actually very detached from reality. This guy, I mean, when I said, are you curious? Is that what people in the Pentagon think? And I asked him, and I was incredulous. And he had this kind of bewildered look on his face, like, why wouldn't you think Ukraine's winning? Of course, I mean, so these people are detached from reality. And, you know, you were mentioning red lines. There is a thinking that Putin is basically a coward and he can be pushed around, and he bluffs, but he'll back down. And there is thinking that, you see, he said that if we sent weapons to Ukraine, that he would nuke Ukraine. They're always saying that he wants to use nuclear weapons. Well, he didn't use nuclear weapons. We sent our weapons to Ukraine, and he didn't nuke it. And then they've sent little patrols into the what's the border town, Belgorod, and they didn't use nuclear weapons. Yeah. So the idea is that
same thing. Yeah, they said the same thing with the Leopard 2 tanks and the Abrams, and they said the same thing when the Storm Shadows were sent in there. And again, they mistakenly applied their own red lines, because they said they would never send those tanks. They said they would never send those weapons. Then they did it. What Russia has been very, very clear in is that if there are long-range weapons used into pre-2014 Russian borders, then that's a red line. But they keep applying all these red lines to these, you know, each time they escalate out of desperation, each time it manifests that they're losing the war that they thought they would win easily, then they escalate a little bit, you know. And like Putin has said certain things, like you send in those weapons, we'll destroy them. If you send in those troops, we can kill them and they will be killed and they're a legitimate target. But he's never said he's going to use nuclear weapons for such things. Sorry to interrupt you.
No. And just remember that two and a half years ago, he was saying that Ukraine had to be neutral, that he would not accept a Ukraine in NATO, and he would not accept a Ukraine deploying nuclear weapons. And when those demands, which are very reasonable, and by the way, echo the American position vis-a-vis Cuba in 1962, the Cuban Missile Crisis, when he said he wouldn't tolerate it and he was being ignored, what did he do? He invaded. So it's not as if he's, you know, Putin, especially in the context of Russia, he is much more open to negotiations with the West. The criticism of Putin inside Russia is that he's been too soft on the West and too naive on the West. But he's acknowledged that. And those days are over. And the United States and these Eastern European countries and Western European countries are really playing with fire. Because the last thing I'm going to say before I kick it back to you is, who the hell cares about whether Ukraine is in NATO or not? Why do we want Ukraine in NATO? Why would we want Georgia in NATO? These areas, very few Americans can find them on the map. Very few, like Georgia. I mean, okay, Ukraine, hardly anybody knew what Ukraine was. People laugh at Vice President Chlamydia Harris when she said, well, the thing about Ukraine is it's a small country and it's next to a bigger country. And they laugh at her, but she's talking to the American people, and that's the level that they're on. Well, she was on a black radio show, but it's not as if the whites are really any better at geography. And Georgia, nobody knows anything about Georgia. Nobody knows anything about Georgia. Why do they care?
Or Estonia, or Latvia, or Lithuania. I mean, I saw this upstart from Estonia again recently. What's her name? I forget. They're always women these days.
Women? What the hell's going on there? Well, they got all these women running these countries who are totally belligerent.
Yeah, and Finland the same. So they're completely trashing peace.
Yeah, the crack war who was running Finland for a while. That young crack war.
Yeah, I mean, it really is incredible. You know, since the Soviet Union collapsed, Russia has been no threat to any of these countries. The only country that it battered to give a slap to was Georgia. And what was the reason they gave a slap to Georgia for? The same reason that Ukraine's getting it today. Talking about joining NATO. By the way, there's a lot of unrest again in Georgia. And again, Patrick, it's like it's always these women in there who want to be aligned with the freedom of the West. You know, they want to be aligned with Europe, and there's all this controversy in Georgia. I don't know how much you know about that, but it's about sort of foreign. Yeah, so, yeah. You know, but anyway, I don't want to digress too much into that, but, you know, why do they even want to be part of Europe anyway? I mean, why? So they can see all these women, because they talk about their freedom. What do they want? Because they want to sleep with black guys or something? I don't really get it. Or they all want to have lesbian affairs. I don't understand. Because usually when you talk about the freedom of the West, usually what you mean is you want to be able to be free to indulge in some sort of degenerate behavior, really, when you look at what the West and their freedom means, because you don't really have that much freedom to do anything else these days. And the irony is, you know, you probably have more free speech in Russia.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Much freedom to do anything else these days. And the irony is, you know, you probably have more free speech in Russia than you do in the West today. I mean, think about how much censorship there is. You had Scott Ritter the other day, who had his passport confiscated when he was just about to leave the United States to travel for St. Petersburg, an economic conference in St. Petersburg, no reason given. I mean, this is the type of thing that we're apparently fighting Russia for, those authoritarians. We're fighting for freedom. And of course, it's D-Day today. They're going to be rolling out Zelensky. I saw a little clip of it. You have Macron there talking about freedom and what they fought for. And, you know, and Prince Charles talking about, of course, it's a big, you know, propaganda opportunity to talk about how we need to, you know, continue to resist tyranny. Allusions to, I haven't watched that much of it to see if anyone's directly, mentioned Putin and Russia as a kind of a parallel to the Nazis, but we know they will and we know they do. It never really stops, but I don't really know why these little countries like Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, as I say, Estonia was recently again talking about, how we must defeat Russia, how they're coming for Europe next. You know, Holland, the Netherlands have just, okayed F-16s. I think, I forget the number, 32 F-16s to Ukraine later in the year. And then they say, and here goes the argument with some of these people who support Ukraine and the doublespeak. Well, once we give them the weapons, It's up to them what we do with them. You know, we don't tell them what they can do and what they can't do. Well, you have people like Jens Stoltenberg. He'll say the same thing to one side of his mouth, and then on the other side of the mouth, they'll talk about how they tell the Ukrainians what they can and can't do. You know, which is it? You know, are you selling these people weapons to defend themselves, or are you controlling them? Because we know that when we hear Western powers and the Europeans are puppets of the United States.
Okay, we lost you for a second.
And the United States are puppet of. Well, on one side of their mouth, they say, oh, when we give them the weapons, they can do what they want with them. We're not involved. On the other hand, we know exactly they're involved because they're giving instructions to the Ukrainians as to what they can and can't do. But they're trying to say, oh, well, you know, we need to give them these weapons to defend themselves. And then, you know, it's nothing to do with us after that, what they do with them. I mean, it really is all over the place. Of course, the Russians aren't falling for this nonsense. They know, like what we mentioned at the start of the show, that they are sending in people to train to use these weapons for the targeting purposes, all of it. And of course, you know, the younger generation coming through, these D-Day, I mean, listen, these D-Day Memorial Days and everything else. I mean, yes, of course, we mourn the loss of the people who give their lives, but more and more.
You still there? We're having a little bit of a connection issue.
Give their life, but they. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I hear you now.
But, you know, we get these D-Day memorials and things like that. And I think as each generation goes on, it's not the fact that we don't care about their sacrifice. But we mourn not only their sacrifice and the fact they lost their lives, but we mourn the fact that they lost their lives for nothing. They were duped.
Yeah.
The more people educate themselves, the more they realize, you know, they demonized everybody back then in the same way as they demonized Saddam Hussein recently, and they're doing with Putin now. And nobody's up for it anymore. People are a lot more wise as to what's going on. So all these memorials and everything else, I'm sorry, but, you know, people do mourn those people, but it's more, I think, nowadays that they mourn them because they were basically duped.
Well, yeah. Now, getting back to what's going on in Ukraine now, one thing that I think is important is, you know, I mentioned Russia invading Ukraine, but the war itself didn't start with Russia invading Ukraine. The war started with Ukraine bombarding the breakaway provinces in Donbass, Donetsk and Lugansk. And this is what people have to understand. The war started in 2014. The war started immediately after the coup d'etat, that the violent coup d'etat that was backed by the State Department, and I'm sure the CIA. The State Department was openly supporting it, the CIA probably covertly. Victoria Nuland was famously handing out bagels or whatever to the crowds day after day, and meeting with the people who eventually took over the government in the weeks and months prior to the coup. So there was a coup, and then immediately after the coup, like the next day, the new parliament, or the parliament that had no longer had the restraint of the former governing party, passed laws that stripped Russians, ethnic Russians and Russian speakers, of their linguistic and cultural rights. And this prompted three provinces, Crimea, Donetsk, and Lugansk, to...
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Get more tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get more tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get more tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it, contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine, reduce your emissions, and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A 5-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Three provinces, Crimea, Donetsk, and Lugansk, to declare independence. Russia recognized the independence of Crimea and accepted its application for membership in the Russian Federation, but it did not recognize the independence of Lugansk and Donetsk, of the what they call the People's Republics of Donetsk and Lugansk. And Ukraine attacked these provinces. Now, Russia, at this point, you could say that, well, Russia was involved in a proxy war against Ukraine or something like that. The Ukrainians were fighting against the armies or the militias of these two provinces, and those two provinces were being aided by Russia. But it's also important to point out that the Russians were the good guys, that these overwhelmingly Russian, ethnic Russian and Russian-speaking populations of Donetsk and Lugansk, they had a very legitimate reason for declaring independence from Ukraine, because Ukraine had stripped them of their linguistic and cultural and educational rights. And then Ukraine bombarded them, and over the course of 8 years killed 14,000 people. 14,000 people. That's a fair amount. That's a lot more you know, Israel complains about on October 7th. So this was a big deal. And Russia, rather than annexing these provinces, Russia spent 8 years trying to reintegrate the provinces back into Ukraine with guarantees of their cultural rights. And the Ukrainian government agreed, but it never followed through. And then it's come out since the war expanded 2 years ago, it's come out that neither the Ukrainian president Poroshenko nor the facilitators of this agreement, the brokers of the agreement, Angela Merkel and François Hollande, the president of France, none of them negotiated in good faith, and they all simply wanted to buy time so that Ukraine could arm and then fight a war against Russia. So the Russians didn't start the war. The Ukrainians started the war. The Ukrainians are the bad guys. And the United States, the Jewish-dominated United States and the Jewish-dominated West are the bad guys. And I'm sorry, I don't like having to talk about Jews all the time, but somebody's got to do it. And what they're doing in what the Jews are doing in Ukraine is no good. What they're doing in the Middle East is no good. And I'm kicking it back to you, Paul.
Yeah, what you outlined there is absolutely correct. And of course, blanket silence on any of that history. Talk to anybody today, the narrative is still, it was an unprovoked attack by Russia. And this, of course, brings me back to this other narrative, because what is happening at the minute when you compare it to, like, you know, the Soviet Union era, it is much worse than that now. And it ought to be the dominant story in the news, you know, and subsequently filtering down to be, you know, in the public discourse. It should be dominating from the parliament to the pub, you know, like it would have been 40 years ago or whatever it is. And that, there's like an eerie silence, which is very disconcerting. And I think, you know, I'd be interested to know why there's such eerie silence, because it is perplexing. When all of this is going on, they know they're provoking Russia. They know they're crossing red lines. They know the kind of rhetoric that Putin's coming out with. First of all, I guess, you know, they are either through their own stupidity and hubris dismissing it as, you know, Russian bluster and empty threats, whether they believe that or whether that's just a narrative. Maybe the fact that there's elections in the United States and over here, it's not convenient.
Well, so what's the question?
It's on it. Why is there, you know, for example, can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me now, Patrick? Yeah.
I hear you now. Fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm speculating as to why the silence in all this, you know, this is a big thing. It, as I say, it ought to be sort of dominating discourse from the parliament to the pub, you know. When you compare it to what, you know, the type of situations in the past, which got much more attention than this when it came to the Soviet Union and the United States. And this is a.
Yeah. Well, you got cut off just now. Are you hearing me?
Well, I'm perplexed. Yes, yeah. I can hear you.
Okay. So, you know, 60 years ago, October 1962, during these days that there was a crisis over the missiles in Cuba, the whole world was watching, and the whole world was very nervous, and the whole world was alarmed. And my mother told me I thought Kennedy was going to kill us all. Now, a lot of historians give Kennedy a lot of credit for de-escalating, and they also give Khrushchev credit. That be as it may be, what we've got now is we're permanently in crisis mode, and people are numb to it. They're completely numb. I mean, even when we approached the brink, there didn't seem to be any alarm that we had approached the brink. But now we're just standing on the brink. We're living on the brink, and people are used to it, and people don't understand, for the most part. you know, most people don't understand the calamity that we possibly face. And, you know, part of it is that we've gone through the past 33 years since the Gulf War, where war is it's just like entertainment. It's just something you watch on TV. You could watch NFL football. You could watch the UFC cage fighting, or, you know, you can watch the war. And it's people, Americans never, with the exception of a very small number of, really a very small number of of American soldiers who were getting maimed and mutilated, still significant. And a lot of, they, for the most part, the American soldiers, very few got killed in combat. Huge numbers wound up committing suicide afterwards. And so, you know, these people were being affected, but the typical American really was not being affected, not affected economically because of the way the economies run. We're able to run massive trade and budget deficits, and what should be the inflationary impacts are just absorbed by the rest of the world. So there's no sacrifice. There's no, the only sacrifice people make is putting a ribbon magnet on the back of their car. And that's and maybe saying thank you for your service at ridiculous times. There's no sacrifice. So people are just ignorant as to what's going on. And it's sad, but that's the way I see it.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. People are very provincial in their thinking, both geographically and historically. So war is either, you know, something that happened such a long time ago that you can watch a good movie about it, you know, or, you know, World War One, World War Two, whatever it is, the Civil War, or it's over there. It's over in the Middle East. It's in Ukraine, wherever that is. It's not going to affect us, particularly in the United States. I mean, you guys have really not that much experience of any, you know, you've never been attacked on your own soil. No. So I think that's part of it. I think the other part of it that worries me is it a possibility that they want to keep this as much under the radar as possible so that if, when Russia does something dramatic, you know, like some sort of strike on the West, not even a nuclear strike, but some sort of strike, that then the media will get go, you know, will crank up, and the narrative will be, again, this was an unprovoked attack, because people aren't getting the backstory. They're trying to keep it away from people so that they can say, well, didn't we tell you? I mean, we told you this guy just, you know, he just invaded Ukraine from nowhere. He's a maniac, and we've been telling you he's going to come for Europe next. And look what he's just done. He's just attacked one of the Baltic states, or he's just attacked a U.S. military base in the United States. We told you this guy's crazy. And I think the frustrating thing is that because people are so ignorant and they're not watching, that's probably the narrative you'll hear. It would not be surprise me 6 months, 8 months from now that this is the narrative. You know, Russia has done what we've been warning people they would do. They've, you know, not only, you know, attacked Ukraine, but now they're attacking the West, you know. And I mean, I think that is a distinct possibility as to why the silence on it, just to sort of keep it under the radar. And then if Russia does something dramatic, then we'll focus on it then, you know. But, you know, I couldn't help it. I was listening to, I think it was Douglas McGregor the other day. And I was outside. It was a very hot afternoon, very lovely little area I was in at the time. And I was having a beer, nice surroundings, lovely day, nice breeze blowing. Mothers bringing their children home from school and people walking around. And I'm listening to Douglas McGregor talking about Russian submarines in the Pacific and the Atlantic. And their capabilities of striking the U.S. and all sorts of other retaliatory options that are open to them. And I couldn't help but sort of, you know, notice this sort of juxtaposition between how everyone just is getting on with life as normal. It actually reminded me of Matthew 24 when Jesus was predicting the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, and the disciples were asking him, well, when will these things happen? And Jesus said, well, I can't tell you exactly when, but when it does, he basically said it'll be like the flood. You know, before the flood, everyone was eating and drinking and getting on with things and giving in marriage. In other words, they were oblivious to it. They didn't, no one was taking heed of anything. And he said it'll be the same with the destruction of in Jerusalem in AD 70. Everyone's going to be going about their business as normal. No one's going to be worried. No one's going to be thinking about it. And then it'll come and it'll be a complete shock. You know, it kind of felt like that to me. I think that's why it worries me, because, and I don't mean to be dramatic about it, and I still believe that somehow this will be avoided. But it is, it's just, it really is incredible how people are just getting on with things. No one's talking about it. There's no alarm, you know, it's incredible.
Yeah. People are in general, very, very oblivious to this. Now the Gaza people, the young kids have found out about what's going on in Gaza. And these demonstrations, I credit these demonstrations with having at least forced the fake Brandon administration into pressuring Netanyahu to slow it down a bit. And so, I mean, the killing goes on, but I think it's fair to say that these kids on the college campuses have at least saved a certain amount of Palestinian lives. I mean, the killing goes on. It goes on, but they've at least had a certain amount of impact. But there's a little bit of understanding about what's going on in Gaza, because it's just, it's so obscene, and people are seeing it. With regards to Ukraine, there's just people don't know, people don't understand. People in the military really don't seem to know or understand very, very well. And, you know, we're right at the brink. And I was talking to somebody, and you keep hearing, okay, this is what I was hearing from this colonel, this retired colonel, that, oh, Putin's not going to stop it at Ukraine. Next thing will be the Baltics. What do we think about that? Well, first of all, I've been to the Baltics, and it's not an existential threat to me. The Soviet Union, even... four months before they broke up, they allowed the Estonia, Lithuania, and Latvia. The Soviet Union recognized their independence, actually let them go before they broke up. Yeah, and so Russia is fully prepared to live with these three little countries next to it, as long as they don't cause a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I, like you said, I mean, that is an accurate depiction of at that time. So what, suddenly, 40 years later, whatever it is, suddenly Russia is a great threat? I mean, yeah, this is what I mean about the, you know, and again, I know the Estonian president or whatever, she's a woman. I don't know, Latvia, they all seem to be women these days.
Lithuania was a woman, I think. And George is a woman, like Solomon.
Yes.
Solomon.
Yeah, and of course you got the new Mexican president, like we mentioned, which should be great for the southern border.
A Jewess.
Yeah.
She's Jewish.
Yeah, interestingly, her background, Kelsen Fries, goes back to one of the Baltic nations. Her paternal grandparents are Ashkenazi Jews from Lithuania, and her maternal grandparents are Sephardic Jews from Bulgaria. How a Jew ends up in the president of Mexico, a country which is 80% Catholic, is beyond me. But anyway, I suppose if you're Jewish, you're not going to be short of some opportunities and some money behind your campaign, I guess.
Well, yeah, and now you're going to have a situation on the American border where you've got two
Jews on both sides of it controlling it.
Jews on both sides. Alejandro Mayorkas from Cuba, a Jew from Cuba, and now you got this Jewish woman from Mexico, and they've got it under control for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting, by the way. You know, when I talk to people about Jews and Christianity, of course, over the last century, this has been lost. But you know, when I looked her up briefly on Wikipedia, there was like a section controversies. One of the controversies was that she was involved in some construction operation beside a church, and just so happened, in quote, by accident, half the church got destroyed. Someone involved with the church came out and said it was deliberate, and she held Claudia, what's her name, Baum, responsible for it. And in response, Claudia, this new president's response with her, you know, remedy for this was to, well, we can have half a church and half a...
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
And the new president's response with her, you know, remedy for this was to, well, we can have half a church and half an art center. You can imagine, you know, the very liberal art center, probably with all sorts of you know, gender fluid and homosexual artwork on the other half of where the church used to be. So this is so typical. It's so consistent. You know, the one of the major controversies was that basically she managed to destroy a church, you know?
And the thing is, I really am tired of bitching about the Jews, but you've got Zelensky in Ukraine. He's a Jew. The entire Israeli government, which is doing the most atrocious things that we've ever seen in our life. You've got, the Jew in Mexico now. You got like these Jews in the Biden administration. And
Merrick Garland weaponizing the FBI and imprisoning people, a Jew. I mean, it never stops. I mean, I, like you say, I don't want to talk about them either, but how do you avoid it? How can people keep
how
saying,
do you, avoid it?
You know, yeah.
Look, here's the thing. We could just be polite, and we're not supposed to talk about the Jews, so we'll just say globalists or communists or whatever, Chinese or whatever, because we don't want to be anti-Semitic. Now, we might all die in World War III, but at least we won't be called anti-Semitic.
Well, this is the thing, you know? This is the problem. I even heard Jimmy Dore in this talk about this, and I actually thought these guys sound like they're red-pilled on the Jewish thing for a minute when they were talking about the new president and how she's into gender equality and all these things. And then they said, this is the West imposing this narrative on her, you know? In other words, she's, you know, why can't they just let it be that she's a, you know, a Jewish woman who's the new president? Why is the West imposing this narrative on her like she's just an innocent Jewish woman? And of course, you know, they're a bit like that anyway. I mean, they're anti-Zionist, but as long as you're not a Zionist, the Jews are just very, very wonderful people all the time. You know, in fact, they're a persecuted minority.
Yeah, well. Well, anyway, we're out of time. I'm trying to get my book done, and people can read what I have to say about the Jews if they're curious. But but we're out of time. I want to thank you for calling me up and doing this show with me, because it's a really good show, and people will like it. So thank you very much.
Yeah. Well, thank you for doing it. It was good to have a chat and get some things off our chest again.
Yep. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Simple with Colorado Shilajit, fact bit number 2. In Ayurvedic pharmacology, Shilajit is the king, Raja Yoga Vahayana. Raja Yana is one of the comprehensive disciplines of Ayurveda. It comprises of specialized uses of herbal minerals to achieve the optimum state of health. Raja Yana is a path to achieve homeostasis and thus retarding the process of aging and the prevention of diseases. Shilajit stands alone as the king herbal mineral over all other earth-made substances. Within Rasayana, Shilajit is the ultimate substance that improves quality of plasma and blood. Thus, it strengthens and promotes health to all tissues of the body. Legit Shilajit, like Colorado Shilajit, is as the literal Sanskrit translation implies. Shilajit is the conqueror of mountains and the destroyer of weakness.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
You can't! can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.